But I just find it interesting. The lengths that some will go to in order to not do what is normal. Now, what I'm holding here is a piece of blue foil paper. Normal would be that black container over there on the other side of the platform called the trash can, right? While I'm sitting there behind Randy, I see this just a little bit of blue sticking out from the molding on the pew. And I wonder what that is. So I just take my finger and rub down, and then this whole thing comes out. Now, the normal thing would be to throw it in the trash. But obviously somebody that sits on that end spot, that's usually Luke, isn't it? We won't credit it to him. But it was neatly folded up, tightly compacted, and tucked in there.
I was thinking saying so.
Me too.
What's this? Like I say, I realize it's just, you know, we're entertaining ourselves, rather than listening to what's going on. So, anyway, I better throw a word myself. Oh, yeah. All right. No trial or problem would cause us to despair. Wow, this is not working. I gotta get a different piece of stick tack.
It won't this cause is... you to despair.
No, it could. Actually, what I did was put a piece of scotch tape on these two pages because this stick tack would pull the paper eventually. I usually use white. This is blue. This does not work in this application. It's too strong. Like I say, just think what you'd have missed if you hadn't come. No trial or problem that we have would cause us to despair if we knew God's reason for allowing it. My subject today is worry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but you never get anywhere. Everyone knows that worry accomplishes nothing. Yet modern man indulges in worry without hesitation or restraint, just as did our ancestors. Dr. Charles Mayo of the famous Mayo Clinic says, and I quote, "Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system, and it profoundly affects the health of a person who worries. I have never known a man who died from overwork, but many who have died from doubt." And so he relates worry with doubt. We'll see that develop. A famous stomach specialist who worked at the Mayo Clinic, he says that 80% of stomach disorders at Mayo Clinic are not organic, but functional. Think about that. Wrong mental, wrong spiritual attitudes can cause functional disturbances in the digestive system. Boy, when it comes to the matter of spiritual problems, I never would have expected, spiritual things to affect my digestive system. There's no Tums that'll take away that source of the problem. A Dr. S.I. McMillan, he lists 58 different diseases. He broke it down into 10 categories, which can be caused or aggravated by emotional stress such as worry. And none of those caused by worry have a germ behind them. It's all a mental attitude. Let me say what I frequently say when I deal with these kinds of things. To talk about it is easy. To hear it is easy. To live it is a whole other matter. But the fact of the matter is that we need to set as a goal to live without worry. Now, God gave some good news about worry. It's in 1 John 1:9. You're familiar with it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we establish here at the beginning that worry is a sin. It's not just part of your personality, though it may be, but it is a sin. Now we know swearing, we know alcohol, drugs, we know stealing, we know gossiping, we know those are all sins. But worry, isn't that just sort of something in an in-between land? No. Worry is slander against the love and goodness of God. It says that God is not sufficient for all things. He is not aware of our daily needs. So we have to worry about it. You know, when I went over that this morning, I... I prepared for today, yesterday, as far as the message goes. And this morning I always sit in my rocker in my office and read over my notes, familiarize myself again with them. It says, worry says that God is not sufficient for all things. And then I prayed. Because you see, I could worry about this time in my life. And that would be a sin. And I'm not into sinning willfully.
Amen.
And so I ask God to forgive me and to help me trust him more. I illustrate it just to say, whatever it is that would cause you to worry, we don't need to do it. I didn't say it will be easy to not avoid it. I'm just saying we don't need to do it. Worry is sabotage to the human personality. It keeps us from becoming all that God intends us to become. One man decided to put a marble in a vase for each worry during a particular year. At the end of the year, he had quite a collection of marbles. But you know, he could not remember what worry even went with one marble. He just couldn't. Worry never accomplishes anything. I'm going to repeat that. It's true, and you know it, the same as I do. Worry never accomplishes anything. Well, except wrinkles. And then that gives us something to worry about. When a middle-aged man says he's worried about the fallout, he probably means his hair, not the atoms. How wonderful life would be if we could forget our troubles as easily as we forget our blessings. Think about it. Boy, when I read that one, it made me stop and think again. Some people, by their personality, by their nature, don't worry, or don't worry near as much as others. Such Christians would not worry even if they were not saved. I mean, it's just the way they are. It's the way they're made. What would we say today? It's just part of their DNA. Okay? They are not prone to worry. But that, in such a person, should not be equated with spirituality. Because spirituality is something that comes by the work of the Holy Spirit in a person. And other than the fact that that's how God made them, and that's marvelous. If you have been made that way, that you are just not prone to worry. You say, well, I worry a little. Don't try and make yourself bad, okay? Besides, I have a comment that'll deal with that. Each of us as Christians can have peace in the midst of our troubles, regardless of our nature or our personality. Now, some work harder at turning things over to God than other people do, but God can help us in this matter as well as in any other. God has never worried. It's impossible for God to worry. Now, I know it never crossed your mind that God would worry. Because it's all about his character. His character rules against his worrying. And therefore, what we need to do is get our character in line with God's character, and we will find ourselves more prone to trust him. Now, not worrying won't remove the problems. It's a matter then of how we relate to them or deal with them. Now, let me introduce another word. And that's the word concern. Concern is different than worry. But concern can so easily become worry when we do not have ourselves under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I know I have responded to certain situations and people, and I'll say, now I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. And sometimes that's just to cover up for the fact that I'm worried about something. But there are times where I'm using it literally. I'm not worried about this, but I am concerned about this matter. And we need to try and distinguish the two, because concern is normal. If we didn't have concern, we could be negligent. But we need not worry. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. The book of Paul, as he writes to the Christians at the city of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm looking at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God. Followers here carries an aspect or an inference, maybe I can say, of being imitators of God. If you're following someone, then you like to do their actions. You like to use words like they use. If I'm following someone, I'll adopt their values. I'll think like they do. And so we are to be followers of God, imitators of God, and therefore our actions, our words, our thoughts, our values should be like God's. Now, let's look at some Bible descriptions having to do with the area of worry. And we'll start out with the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Psalm 127 and verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. There's no point in getting up so you can have more time to worry about a problem. There's no point in staying up late to be able to think about that problem and go over and over and over again in your mind, knowing that you cannot think through, your thinking cannot change the situation. All it can do is steal your peace. But how to stop? That's the question. Because the situation has arrested our attention. How can I stop? I don't want to be going here, but I am. Try praying. Praying for yourself. Not praying for the situation. Not praying for God to change somebody else. Pray for yourself. Ask God to give you peace. Admit to Him, if we confess our sins, admit to Him that what you're doing is worrying. Well, I'm just greatly concerned. No, you've crossed over when it causes you to get up early so you can think on it. When it causes you to sit up late so you can think on it, no, that's not concern. You've crossed over. It's worry. It says there, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. I'm not exactly sure what that means, to eat the bread of sorrows, but what came to my mind was, I want to have a pity party about this. I'm sorry about this mess that I'm in. And no, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. God wants you to be able to rest. Find it with him. And then in Matthew chapter 6, very familiar chapter and passage and subject. When we get there, you'll recognize it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Where Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought. In other words, don't worry about it. It's not saying don't think about these things in the sense that we don't have responsibility regarding them. But take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Our daily needs of food and clothing. Now this relates frequently to our occupation. I'm just not earning enough. My land's with inflation going the way it is. I can't buy groceries like I used to. I have to watch how often we from here drive to Olean because of the cost of gas. Yeah. Now, concern is that, yeah, we need to change where we can. But concern becomes worry when we get besides ourselves, when we get all frustrated with this, when it keeps us from falling asleep at night because we're thinking, what am I going to do about eating tomorrow? There are a number of you who are slim and trim and in good shape, but there are plenty of us that we could cut back on the groceries and it would not hurt us. And that's what we can do. Rather than lay awake at night, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? Where's the money going to come from? Well, try saving $10 off of groceries in the week. That probably won't hurt. Okay. I remember one time, oh my, could be 40 years ago. I know that all the children were home yet, and things were tight at the time. So Pat and I talked about it. And we decided instead of having a little snack each night, we would just go to Friday night for treat night. That way she could save on the groceries, you say, and then we only have it. And we, you know, we maintained that even when things improved financially. Rather than lay awake and worry about what to do, think of some ways to handle it. Then do it. Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 and 41, the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus interacting with them. Luke 10, 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Careful here carries the meaning of anxious. Okay? Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled. See, careful couldn't mean like we typically use it, of being careful about not falling down the steps. Okay? Careful about crossing the street. No, it's not using it that way. You cannot always do this, but you can here. Martha, Martha, thou art always full of care.
That's right.
Like I say, you can't always interchange things like that, but you can here.
Yes, sir.
And troubled. And you know that careful carries a negative connotation because he links it with troubled about many things. You know, it's possible, you know, Martha was anxious about her house. She was anxious about meals. She was anxious about being a hostess. Some people might benefit if they were a little more anxious about their housekeeping, their meals. Oh, it's quiet. And so now let me divert to a different area in this term of anxious. I made a mistake back in 1968. I was a junior class Sunday school teacher. Miss Evelyn Shrove was the superintendent of the junior department. It was a large ministry, and therefore they had a junior department, a primary department. They each had their own opening. I was talking with her, and I said, well, I'm anxious about that event, whatever it was. And she said, no, Roger, you're not. Okay. Now, she seemed old to me at the time. She was probably 45 or 50. But she did. She seemed old. I mean, I was only 26. So, nevertheless, she said, Roger, you are eager for that event. And you know, she taught me something I have never forgotten, obviously. There is a difference between anxious and eager. Eager is a positive anticipation of something. Anxious is a negative anticipation of something. So you're going on a picnic. You're not anxious for the picnic. You're eager for the picnic. Think about it. She was right. She's in heaven now. Well, obviously. 60, 61, and she was old then. And so, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. You see, we don't tend to be anxious about just a thing or a certain type of thing. It's usually something that characterizes our life. And therein, it causes us so much distress. Now he goes on and he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Why can't my sister help? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, depending on who you are and how you are, it may come to your mind as it always has to mine. Let me give the clarification first, then I'll give the problem. It's sort of backwards. The clarification is God teaches us repeatedly in his scriptures that we are to be responsible and do the things that we are responsible for, no doubt. In this passage, he is trying to stress the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus. He is not ignoring, and here's where the problem comes in for OCD people, okay? Here's where the problem comes in. Do we not need to eat? Does the house not need to be clean for the company coming? Are there not responsibilities I have as Martha did? Of course. But you see, she was putting them before Jesus. It is not that you or I would do what we are responsible to do, but it's that we would put those things before Jesus. Now, as I said, and everybody's being quiet today. And I don't know if you're sleepy or if it can be one of the signs of God speaking. But nevertheless, we are expected to do our duties, but our duties are not expected to come before Jesus. And that was Martha's problem. That was Martha's problem. So you can't understand this subject only in this passage. You must put it in the context of all other passages on the subject. Okay? And so in chapter 12, still in Luke, chapter 12, chapter 12 and verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogue, well, this is the passage which says, don't worry about what you're going to say, okay? God will give you the things to say. And when they bring you unto the synagogue and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Take ye no thought of how or what. In speaking for God, the thing here of take ye no, here again, the take carries with it an anxiety. I'm going to be brought up before magistrates. I'm going to be brought up before the JP. I'm going to be brought up before the police chief, the sheriff. I'm going to be brought up there. And he says, don't get all bent out of shape over it. Well, how would a person not be concerned about what's going on? Oh, do you see what word I used? I used the word concerned. It is natural that a person would be concerned about being brought in before legal authorities for who knows what. But there again, to be concerned is one thing. To be worried is another thing. And here he is telling us, don't be worried. about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, what you're going to say. Just realize that God's going to take care of you. Now, that takes an unbelievable amount of faith, doesn't it? That takes a walk with God on our part that cannot begin when we get the notice in the mail or a knock on the door and we're handed a legal document. No, that kind of walk and faith needs to be happening right now. Because you and I don't know what's coming next week. Oh, next week's the business, the special meetings. Yeah, that's not what I'm referring to. You don't know when you're going to get a notice because you went by one of those, not body cams, what do you call them?
Speed camera,
yeah. You're not going to know when you went by that. It comes in the mail. Oh, no. Well, I can't be there at 6 o'clock. We have meetings this week. You'll be there at 6 o'clock. You'll have to call a pastor and say, I've got something that came up that I can't avoid. I wouldn't say I got a speeding ticket. I would just simply say I can't be there. Now he's going to wonder if I call and say I can't be someplace. You have got to keep yourself consistently in fellowship with God. Now, listen, again, I say, I know that's easy for you to sit and hear and you agree with it. It's easy for me to say. The living it is another matter, but we must try to live it. We must, in our prayer time and in our Bible reading time, strive to have that kind of faith. We cannot wait till the problem comes. If we wait till the problem comes, we will end up what? Worrying. And we can call it concern, but in here and here, we know what it is. Walk today with Christ. There are a number of other things that I could say in that sense. But I want to give you the mechanics, and I'll end with this, the mechanics of imitating God. Remember Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, followers, carrying with it the idea of imitating God. We're following God, and we want people to see God in us. So how to follow God? How to do it? Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. This is how to follow God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's how to follow God. That's how to imitate God. Did you expect something new? Did you expect some snap solution? Spiritual living is by the Holy Spirit. Got the connection? Spiritual living by the Holy Spirit, spiritual. See the connection? Of course you do. But we want somehow for it to come in some manner that we can understand and relate to. Listen, this is a God thing. It's not a people thing. Therefore, how it's going to happen to be a follower of God is going to be by a God thing. Hence, be filled with the Spirit of God. So I ask another question. How to be filled? One thing just hear the command to be filled and even have a very genuine desire to be filled, but how? God, tell me how. He did. Verse 14, Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We must not only realize with a mental awareness and admission, but we should realize that spiritual slumber is not good. Okay? Spiritual slumber is not good. Awake thou that sleepest. We need to admit that I'm sort of living, I'm trying to exist in a nebulous la-la land. You know how it is. You wake up in the morning, whatever the hour. You wake up, you're not fully awake, but you're not able to be asleep. You really want to sleep, but you really want to get up also. And so there you are, just sort of in between neither. I mean, both of them. And he says, awake thou that sleepest. When it comes to spiritual life, in that same way, we're either going to follow the Spirit or we're going to follow ourselves.
Yep.
The Bible calls that the flesh. We like to dress it up. This is what my mama did. This is what my daddy did. Admit it, mama and daddy were wrong. If you're doing what they did and are excusing it by the fact that that's how you grew up, admit it, they were wrong. Oh, I don't want to be so disrespectful. That's not being disrespectful. That's respecting God and his word. That doesn't mean you stop loving them, you stop caring about them. Doesn't mean you stop being grateful for all of the good things they did, but in that thing that you're doing that's wrong, that they did wrong, it's just wrong to do it. Wake up. Admit it. Because you're not going to get spiritual. You're not going to follow God by constantly trying to make excuses for the things that are harmful to you. Fact of the matter is, you probably like thinking, doing, living the way you are, and you're just using them as an excuse because you're not man enough or woman enough to admit it. It's your problem, not theirs. And you thought I liked you. And I do. That's why I'm saying it. When he says, awake thou that sleepest, that spiritual in between, I'm awake when I throw my legs out of bed and they hit the floor. Now, it used to be that I'd throw my legs out of bed and hit the floor and up and running for the rest of the day. Now I run out to the recliner. No, not really. I have to go through I always call it my bathroom routine, still call it that. The kids said, Dad takes more time in there than any of us do. They were right. They were right, I admit it. But awake. This is why we need revival. Revival is frequently connected with repentance. When we ask God to speak to our heart, we want God through his word to bring us to a point where we will change. That's repentance. To a point where we will change. And that, my friends, is what can give us victory.
Amen.
In this matter of worry. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your love and grace and goodness to us. help us, help me in this area. I pray in your name, amen.